Bend, Edgerton, Darlington, Middleton, Hubbleton, Hub City, Cuba City, Genoa City, Ashburn, Ashland, Packwaukee, Pewaukee, Waukesha, Conemaugh, Waukesha.
Well, we're officially halfway through winter now. Really, we are. Cabin fever can affect our emotions and our mental well-being, so it's important that we get outside and do something. But sometimes the activities our neighbors have invented to make the winter shorter are their own kind of wacky. It's the morning show's weekly Wisconsin Weekend segment. I'm Dean Kallenbeck in for Kate Archer Kent. We may not all be Olympians, but Wisconsinites somehow find ways to compete and have fun. And we'll spend the hour exploring some of those activities with Stephanie Klett, the Secretary of Tourism for the state of Wisconsin. Is your Wisconsin town famous for a particular kind of peculiar competition? What wacky winter sport happens in your area? We want to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us, ideas@wpr.org, or tweet at WPR Mornings. Stephanie Klett is Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Tourism. Welcome this morning, Stephanie.
Well, good morning from the city that is home to the world's largest can of chili and the largest private collection of angels in the world.
Well, that's good. We can start the competition now. Hey, why do we do these things to ourselves here in Wisconsin, some of these strange activities we're going to be talking about today?
Well, one, I think it's fun. And, you know, I think people get used to the same old, same old, even if that same old is something that's stunning and gorgeous. And so it's really a way to kind of differentiate yourself and just do something out of the ordinary.
Let's start with some more familiar face-offs, and then we can move into the stranger ones. This weekend, Winterfest in Balsam Lake features the fastest UTV race in the world. Temps should be well below freezing for that February event. What's the plan there?
Well, if you've never been to Balsam Lake, it is an absolutely gorgeous area of the state, northwest Wisconsin.
Yeah, very nice.
So, yeah, these UTV races, they have speeds of more than 100 miles per hour. And what differentiates this is it's a 500-mile-long race. So Balsam Lake is beautiful. It's huge. It's frozen. And just know that, you know, when you think of, a snowmobile going 100 miles per hour, look out. This is very well controlled. This isn't, you know, back trails. This is open. It's marked. But they have everything from fire and ice, polar plunge, to helicopter rides. Hmm. You know, they also have live entertainment. They have great food. And the venues are all around the area. So it's not just at one location.
Yeah, it seems for most of these that there's, even in a case like this, you obviously can't watch a 500-mile race, you know, sitting in one spot, but in between there are plenty of things to do.
Well, there is, and we have to talk about this because it's quite popular in Wisconsin, but the polar plunges.
Oh, yeah.
And have you ever done one?
Nope, and I doubt I ever will.
I just had the opportunity to tour the new Lodge Kohler in Green Bay, which is part of the new Titletown District.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a tour of the spa, and they have an 8-foot ice plunge because, of course, it's very popular in Europe.
Sure.
And it's a cold pool, and it's 68 degrees. I put my foot in there in my hand, and I'm like, I couldn't do 68 degrees, let alone Lake Superior or Lake Michigan, when it's 30 degrees, 20 degrees, there's just no way. So for me, that never gets old. It's quirky. I think people that do it are nutty in the best sense of the word. But Balsam Lake is really one of those. It's called Winterfest. It's one of those great Northwoods events. And if you love UTVing, which is a little out of the ordinary as well, it's a great event.
But what is a UTV as a definition?
Utility terrain vehicle.
So basically,
UTVs. Yeah, UTVs have 2 to 4 people on them.
Yeah. Okay. So the bigger ones. So okay. Got
yeah,
it.
A side by side.
So more than one person in the vehicle during the race.
Yes.
Huh. That's interesting. Okay. Cool. Well, you know, the one thing I'm familiar with, they used to do this in Rice Lake back in the early '80s when I was there, and I remember They ended up having to cancel it like three weekends in a row because temperatures were 30 below. But it's snowmobile radar races. They're popular in Wisconsin. And those vehicles can really go.
Yeah, they can. And they have them all over the Northwoods. You know, a great site for you to go to is the Wisconsin Department of Tourism site. That's travelwisconsin.com. We list 15,000 events, places. You'll see the radar runs there. But Land O'Lakes has a radar run coming up on February 17th. It's called the Frosty Club Radar Run. So snowmobile races, they do a bikini run, and that bikini run is now for not just women. Some guys now like to get in their swimsuits and be a part of it. So, again, it's one of those, you know, they have a chili fundraiser, which chili after snowmobiling is always probably the best food you can eat. But this radar run attracts visitors from five different states. So, really, the whole, you know, throughout the Midwest, people who love to get on their snowmobile come to Land O'Lakes.
And basically the concept here is you take your souped-up snowmobile and you're on a lake probably with plenty of room to do this, and you go as fast as you can, and a radar gun captures how fast you're going.
Yeah, it's literally like what you would find police use, a radar gun, mm-hmm. and they are timing you for the fastest speeds.
And so the idea here, especially in the bikini part, you're wearing as few clothes as possible, driving as fast as possible in the cold.
You couldn't pay me enough.
Well, I wonder, you know.
It's not going to happen in my lifetime.
For some of the folks I know who ride snowmobiles, I think the spectators are maybe the ones who should be paid. Hey, if you can race a snowmobile, you can race a bed, right? Well, our friends in Cedarburg have the popular bed races each year. What's a bed race?
Well, you know what? I have not been to Cedarburg's bed races, but I've been to bed races all over the state. And bed races have teams of five, and they are racing a bed on casters or skis down the street, ice or snow. And so usually the participants, that team of five, are costumed to give a little quirky favor. Sometimes they flavor, sometimes they match, sometimes it's as, you know, a crazy costume as they can find. But one person is in the bed, and you know what? I think, Dean, that should be our job. Let everyone else do the work. And the other four are posted at the corners to push and steer the bed. And sometimes they do it on ice skates if the race is on ice. And new to the field from bed races, they have recliner races.
Oh, nice.
And so those are similar to bed races. But you know what? Someone's sitting in that reclining chair. And instead of four with the bed, there's only two pushers. And so if you want to check out a recliner race, Conover, Wisconsin, not too far from Eagle River, they are doing the Northwoods Blizzard Blast. And nice. That features recliner races.
Very nice. We're going to talk a little bit more later in the program about some other furniture racing, but I want to move on to human foosball. That was something that I had not heard of before. We all know what regular foosball is. Figures connected by poles that you have to manipulate to protect your goal, kind of like soccer, and get the ball across the table to score. So how does Wisconsin make that life-size?
Well, it's just like you described. It's just like the tabletop game, but it's life-size. So they have a small area of snow that they fence off, and that's kind of the soccer field. Then they string cables across the field, and they have the teams hold on to these PVC pipes, and they work together to kick a ball towards the goal. And so, I mean, it is a team sport. The snow gets icy, and so people are falling all over the place. And you cannot take your hands off that PVC pipe. So, you know, that pipe is just like how those little foosball men are lined up. And if you've never seen it, it's really unusual.
You know, if you reverse engineer this game and think about it from, you know, okay, we're watching this, how did this come about? I'm sure it was sitting inside with a Wisconsin brew somewhere involved here. It's just this is not sanity. Have you seen the toilet seat tossing competition? What happens there?
Yeah, I have seen the toilet seat competition. I've actually participated.
You have a fun job.
So, I do. So the toilet seats, it's just like it sounds. You know, you are tossing a toilet seat, and they also do bike seat tosses as well.
Oh, that's nice.
The toilet seats have to land on a pole sitting up in the ground like giant horseshoes.
Oh, sure.
So it's like playing horseshoes with the toilet. So the goal is to see how far you can throw the toilet seat to get it on that horseshoe or to throw the bike. Now, the bike is a little different because that they just want sheer distance. You don't have to, you know, do it like the toilet, you know, to get it on the horseshoe type thing on the pole sitting up. So if you've never been to a good old-fashioned toilet seat toss or bike seat toss, now is the time.
You're not a true Wisconsinite if you haven't seen that. Stephanie Klett is Wisconsin's Secretary of Tourism. We're talking about Wisconsin's brand of winter fun. This is The Morning Show, and I'm Dean Kallenbeck, sitting in for Kate Archer-Kent. What's your favorite winter fun time in Wisconsin? Tell us more. This is the Ideas Network on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin, Richmond, New Richmond, Richmond.
Well, we started watching the Olympics last night, and we can't all be Olympians, but there are dozens of competitions we can watch or even participate in that celebrate winter in Wisconsin. It's The Morning Show. I'm Dean Kallenbeck. Kate Archer-Kent has the day off, probably practicing her smooshboarding. We'll hear about that in a bit. Are you a weird competition champion? Have you competed in bed racing or chicken catching? Are you exceptional at the toilet seat toss? Call 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org, or tweet at WPR Morning. Stephanie Klett is our guest. She's the secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Tourism. Stephanie Klett, one of my favorite. I was texting my daughter in the Twin Cities and explaining some of these sports, and the one that she found most fascinating was frozen turkey bowling. It's a staple at select Wisconsin winter festivals. How do you play?
Well, it is just like bowling, except you're using a frozen turkey, mm-hmm. and some people keep it wrapped, some people don't, and you use it as the bowling ball, and they have 10 plastic bottles, soft drinks or water. Those are the bowling pins. And the turkey is, you know, bowled down a smooth surface. And in the winter, that would be ice, you know, or on a pond.
Yeah.
And people love it.
Are there special turkeys for left-handed people, or does it make a difference?
Nope, same turkey.
Oh, okay. Well, is it sanitary? I mean, to handle a turkey like
it's
so?
It's usually wrapped. I've only seen it not wrapped once, and I'm not sure it was supposed to be that way.
Okay.
But it's hard because, you know, think of a bowling ball and finding that perfect bowling ball where the fingers just fit right,
yeah.
not too heavy, not too light.
Yeah.
Well, you have no control over the turkey, and it's
yeah.
quite heavy. And
well,
there's, you know, nowhere to – you just got to kind of have it on the palm of your hand, and good luck.
Yeah, and it seems that it wouldn't roll necessarily true even if you did get the fingers right.
Oh, no, it's fun to watch because people fail miserably. And a lot of times it just, you know, off it goes and it goes, you know, 4 feet. And then they really will whip it and then it's, you know, it can go left, it can go right. So if you've never turkey bowled, you got to put it on your bucket list for quirky events.
Now, there are a couple of competitions at a festival near my home stomping grounds in Ridgeland, Wisconsin. They do Pioneer Days this time of year. Among the contests are grease pig contests, where kids try to catch a grease pig, and chicken catching, where they stand on the roof of the tallest building in Ridgeland, which is one story, and they throw a chicken up into the air, and then if you catch it, a kid catches it, they win a prize. These chickens, I understand, are kind of used to flying and are able to land on their feet, so it's not like they're getting hurt. There have been some animal rights folks who've taken exception to it. The sheriff says he's checked it out. They've taken the precautions that they need to take, but that's a little different too. One of those things that there probably was some alcohol involved in the development of the game, I would think.
So no chickens were hurt?
Nope.
All right, girl. Now, that is an event I have not heard of, so thank you for putting that one forward. That's on the list.
Yeah, you have to check that out. Well, look, we talked earlier about racing furniture, and we have a Wisconsin Life feature that brings us to a barstool race in the small town of Drummond in Bayfield County. Danielle Kading, our reporter in Superior, offers us some insight into the competition, A Quest for Glory on Barstools Strapped to Skis.
I'm Lisa Levendesky, and I'm from Drummond, Wisconsin. Everybody has some really unique ideas for the bar stools. Picture yourself getting on that and somebody pushing you down the hill.
I am Michael Scowl from New Auburn, Wisconsin. Two friends convinced me to come up here this weekend about 24 hours ago. They said they had alcohol and a bar stool, so I showed up.
My name is Ryan Rice, and I'm from Stoughton, Wisconsin. My friend took 2 minutes to put his sled together better than everybody that we came with.
That's a shout-out, Riley! Winning!
We gave it a new paint job last night at about 2:30 a.m. We surprised him as a little gift.
Valentine's Day gift.
Valentine's Day gift for our friend Riley.
I'm Riley Call. I'm from Belleville, Wisconsin. I just realized that about 5 minutes ago after loading it up and unloading it that I'm like, oh, it's pink. I'm just really committed going down the hill. You just don't let go and you just kind of wing it.
I'm Brian Russell from Bloomer, Wisconsin. This would be my eighth year. I started working out about a month ago because I'm a pusher, so I want to be in shape for it. Need to do to win. You gotta have a good push.
A good push is key. My name is Austin Dietz, and I'm from Ashland, Wisconsin. We make a new sled every year, which is a Stealth Fighter. I'd like to win Best of Show. We put about, there's about $500 worth of paint on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got costumes this year.
So what are your costumes?
Pigs.
Why pigs?
Because pigs can fly. If you cross over the middle line, you're DQ'd. If your feet touch the ground, you're DQ'd. And I think if you crash, as long as you stay on it and get past the finish line, it's okay.
All right, so lane closest to the announcer's tower is lane number one. The first number I call up will line up at the starting line. And our first race underway. Nice launch for 111.
My name is Craig Manthe, and I'm from Drummond, Wisconsin, president of the Drummond Snowjack Snowmobile Club, the club that's putting this event on. I lived out in Montana. A small community in Montana did something similar to this. I moved back here and brought it to my club, and we called and they actually sent us their rules and stuff. So they were very nice about it. And since then, this is our 16th year, and it's just grown to be quite an event. The main goal is to raise money for our snowmobile club, which it goes back into Bayfield County. There's a snowmobile alliance, and most of the money we generate goes back to that for grooming the trails and such for snowmobiling. So it all stays in the community here and goes back to trying to make it a better place.
Just promotes tourism up here in northern Wisconsin. My name is Joni Najadlo. I'm one of the owners of the Black Bear with my brother Marty and my sister-in-law Joan. Most of the people really come to watch the crashes. And another thing that's good is in 16 years, we've never had to call an ambulance or take anybody to the hospital. We haven't had a guy put a jukebox on skis and the jukebox played music. We've had somebody make a tank. We've also had somebody make a complete pack or a memorabilia. Some people with deers and the heads of deers. Very imaginative.
All right. Now
it's a lot of fun, and just to get the friends together and
attention all racers, as the racers
do something you don't do every day.
All right, let's line the racers up.
It's a piece put together by WPR's Danielle Kading from the Barstool race in Drummond. Have you been to that one, Stephanie?
I have. In my many years with Discover Wisconsin, I had the opportunity to film it. And what I loved about what the guy said is, you know, people come to watch the falls, you know, but no ambulance has been called. But it is funny because if you haven't seen the Barstool races, it really is a zany event. And people take great pride because they have put this together, you know, and they have decorated it and they put their Barstool on skis. I was there a year. They actually had a full-length sofa on skis.
Oh, my goodness.
But what happens, especially if it's like a taller bar stool, when their person pushes them to go down the hill, and it's a nice size hill, it just goes plop. It'll just fall over right away if it's not perfectly balanced. So you'll see wipeout after wipeout. And one, it's terrible, but one of the funny parts is how sad people are because they work so hard on it. They're like, I cannot believe this failed. So it's just a really great event. If you've never been to it, This year, it's happening in Drummond, Saturday, February 17th. And if you don't know where Drummond is, think Cable, Wisconsin, and it's about a 12-minute drive north.
Yeah, Highway 63 between Hayward and Ashland. Hey, this sort of thing makes me think that it's sort of the grown-up version, not necessarily sober grown-up version, but the grown-up version of Pinewood Derby or Soapbox Derby sorts of things that kids do.
You know, that's a really good analogy, because it is, because people are very vested. You know, it started off as this kind of quirky, fun event, but every year people really try to outdo themselves. You know, and one of the, I love that piece you just ran, because people were talking about how great it is for tourism. And, you know, tourism in the North Woods is so important, but all over the state, you know, it's a $20 billion industry that employs 193,000 people in this state. And, you know, our tourism businesses last year paid in $1.5 billion in taxes. You know, and that money goes to roads and schools and fire and police protection. So, you know, a lot of times, because tourism is so fun, we forget that it really is an economic powerhouse and vital to our state's economy.
And we're using furniture that's available to us instead of having to build new facilities like they're doing in Korea. Stephanie Klett is our guest. She's the Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Tourism. Let's go to the phones. Love to hear from you, by the way. 800-642-1234 is the number for you to call. John is here from Janesville. Hi, John. How are you this morning? Good morning, John. Are you with us? I think John's listening to his radio and not to the telephone. Let's move on. Talk about smooshboarding. What happens in this competition?
Well, this is an event where you have a team of four people, and again, usually in a crazy costume, and they're strapped into one set of homemade wooden skis. And they have to walk in unison through a figure eight course, which is not easy when you're on a big ski. And so the first team, and it goes through a figure eight and an obstacle course. So you have to cross the finish line with all four contestants still strapped into their skis. And so just a couple weeks ago, we had the Hot Air Affair in Hudson. And if you've never heard of the Hot Air Affair, it's one of the, it's
beautiful.
I believe it's the largest Midwest balloon festival in the winter.
Yeah.
But they do smooshboarding every year, and
it gets
bigger and bigger.
It seems like some of these, one of the things these sports have in common, a lot of them are like group things, team things. I imagine that's to help keep you warm, just shared body heat, that sort of thing.
Well, and, you know, our winters get so cold that it's probably a good idea to have a few friends along with you in case anything happens. But smooshboarding is cool, too, because, you know, it's almost like rowing. You really have to be in unison with each other, or it's just going to be a really bad scene.
Well, there's some winter activities that resemble more traditional sports. Let's talk about snow golf. Who does snow golfing?
Well, you'll find snow golfing all over. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I believe it's Lake Tomahawk that does the ice golf. In fact, when you come into town, they have a huge sign that says, you know, we're the home. We are the home to snow golf. So, you know, it's based on golf. And the greens are called whites. You know, it's an ice surface or maintained snow. And the golf, you know, they learned right away that the golf ball better be a bright color. So they're usually orange or fluorescent green. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that if you miss golf, don't go south. Do not leave the state. Just do a little snow golf.
Well, John from Janesville called. He left us the message. He wasn't able to talk to us by phone. But he says there's a Kohler Open at the Spring Creek Golf Course. He says they play the golf inside the clubhouse, actually, and the goal is to put the golf ball in the toilet, because where else would you put the golf ball in Kohler, right?
I love that. Now, that one is new to me. I have not seen that, so I appreciate that call.
Spring training for baseball starts this month. Brewers pitchers and catchers report on Wednesday. Woo-hoo! It's spring. The position players report on February 19th, but you don't need warm weather for snowshoe baseball, and Lake Tomahawk has you covered there, too, I think.
Oh, Lake Tomahawk is known for snowshoe golf. And so they have teams, and they also do it. I mean, they do it year round, but they have wood chips. So they'll either do it on snow, or they have these wood chips, and you're on snowshoes. So have you ever tried walking on snowshoes on wood chips? It is not an easy task to do.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, they're the center of it, and if you've never been to Lake Tomahawk, it's on Highway 47, and they have, you know, they are the home to snowshoe baseball. It started in 1961, and they really did it as a tourist attraction. And the people liked it so much that they've been doing it ever since. And they also play the game with a large yellow softball, so you can see it. And if you're playing defense, if you're out in the field, you can't wear gloves. But that ball is not going to hurt you.
No, I would think. I remember, this was again back in the early 80s when I worked in Rice Lake. And again, it was one of those things that literally started as a conversation in a bar that they developed, and it ran for several years, a snowshoe race from Superior to Rice Lake. And it took like 3 days, and they stopped at, you know, they had stops along the way, but it was kind of like the Iditarod, where they kind of went in shifts. But right along Highway 53 for much of the race, and that race stood for quite a while. I don't believe it runs any longer, but that was a big event in town. I remember that.
Well, you know, there is an event that I would love to promote because it's a little quirky, but it's more than anything just really, really beautiful. And it's called Book Across the Bay Cross Country Ski Race, and it's over, you know, the world's largest inland lake, and that, or not inland lake, but lake, and that's Lake Superior. But it goes from Ashland to Washburn. And so they do it at night. It's 10 kilometers, so you're going to be going a distance.
Mm-hmm.
But you cross-country ski or snowshoe from Ashland to Washburn at night with over 1,000 candle ice-made luminaries. And,
nice.
You know, on a starry night, it is such a sight to behold. So it's, again, out of the ordinary, but it is beautiful. And people come from all over the country for Book Across the Bay because it's the Shawamigan Bay. And it's kind of scary because, I mean, this is a frozen Lake Superior.
Yep.
This is a big piece of water, but it's beautiful. So, you know, some families will pull children and sleds across the candlelit trail. You know, afterwards they have music and drinks and a post-race chili and all that. But it's really a beautiful, unique event.
Well, and if you sit in, you know, if you sit on the shores of Ashland, you can see Washburn. If you sit in Washburn, you can see Ashland. And so, you know, but to drive there is like 15 minutes, but it feels like you can reach out and touch it. And here's a chance to take the direct route. So that's kind of fun. All right. We are getting to the point where we need to take a break shortly, but I think we can squeeze John from Rome in. John, how are you today?
Good morning. How are you this morning?
We're doing well. Tell us what your idea is about a fun activity in Wisconsin.
Well, actually, in the town of Rome, starting today and going through the weekend, Lake Arrowhead is having their annual snow blast. It starts this afternoon with, let's call it more regular things to do, like there is a beer tasting today at 5 and a meat raffle tonight, comedian. Tomorrow things wrap up in the morning. There's a lot of things for kids. There's hay rides. And now you get in, there's ice sculptures, a spot game, games of chance where you're wagering on your color being drawn. Then we get into some lawnmower races this afternoon. In the afternoon, they'll be racing out on the pond at the turn on Lake Arrowhead.
And John, we're going to have to stop you there, but I love the idea, and I understand ice bowling there too. That's the Lake Arrowhead Snow Blast. We're with Wisconsin Tourism Secretary Stephanie Klett, celebrating Wisconsin's ingenious ways to make it through winter through festivals and contests that happen despite the snow and cold, and indeed celebrate the season. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Been to Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin.
We're looking at Wisconsin winter sports that didn't make the cut to be an Olympic event, but helped to shorten the winters in our state. It's The Morning Show of Weekend Wisconsin. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Maybe you're pretty terrible at an offbeat winter sport, but you show up anyway because it's just that much fun. Tell us about it. Where do you go? Where should we go? And how do we play? Call 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org, or tweet at WPR Mornings. Stephanie Klett is our guest. She's the Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Tourism. One of the fun sports that happens in the winter is broom ball. It's just like ice hockey, except players wear shoes and use a ball instead of a puck. The game originated in Canada in the early 20th century and eventually made its way to Wisconsin and to lacrosse, where a bar-sponsored teams will play weekly during the winter. WPR's Maureen McCollum took to the ice in a rink along the Mississippi River in this broom ball version of Wisconsin life.
Mike Brogan. Basically, I'm kind of the coordinator for the league. My other job is park and recreation director for Holman. I've been playing since 1990. Broomball is essentially kind of hockey rules, a little slimmed down and made a little easier. We use a kind of a mini soccer ball that's about the size of a softball. You use a broom, but it's not really a broom anymore. It used to be brooms. Actually, there's a few players that still have brooms at play, but they're mostly kind of a molded head, a little bigger nets, but without skates, so you're running on the ice. Most of the players have broom ball shoes, which most of the world doesn't know what those are, but they're quite unique with kind of a Chuck Taylor type of look with the big spongy bottom.
My full name is Rachel Leering, and I'm playing for the Animal House team. I officially started 5 years ago, and I actually played for our rivals, John's team. I like to play broom ball because it's definitely a great activity in the wintertime when normally people just mope on their couches and watch TV all winter or sit in the bars, and this way you actually get out and get some exercise and sweat yourself up, and it's fun. And it's nice because I'm a little competitive, so having a nice sport in the winter is kind of nice to bring that out.
Come on, Nick, clear it out.
Nick Fallins. I got icicles on my eyebrows right now. That's why I love broomball. It could be 30 below, but you're still sweating outside. And plus, anybody can play it. And if you get sweet jerseys like we do, oh, you win every game.
Who's it? Hey, House.
My name's Louis Parrish, and I've been playing broomball for, I think this will be my fourth year. I play for the Animal House, which is a bar downtown La Crosse. A lot of times go after the game. It's really fun. I used to play hockey too, so it's real similar to hockey, which I like.
He likes to throw cheap shots out there.
Yeah, that's the opponent talking smack. Usually typical when he's down. So yeah, there's a lot of John in this game, but for the most part, everybody's friends and it's a good time. Even when it's negative 30 out, it's still fun to get out here. Well, it looks like I got to go out in the ice. So.
My name is Pat Scheller. I play for John's Bar, the oldest established brew ball team in the city. I've been playing for 33 years.
Right back, Pat, right back.
My favorite brew ball story? I think the fact that I have been ejected several times. I've played with people 30 years ago that I'm still friends with, and I'm making new friends this year. I think that's what I like. And I'm 56 years old, and I'm outside doing something in the middle of the winter, 5 degrees above zero.
That was actually a sport I got to play in college. I played in a tournament, and I played goalie, and I had been a soccer goalie in college. It was not the same. I let the puck through many a time. Broomball is not restricted to lacrosse, is it, Stephanie Klett?
No, but you know what? I have to say, all these years traveling the state, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, well, there you
go. So I really enjoyed that piece.
Well, as much as you've been around, there's still something for you to discover.
Exactly. I'm ready to play a little broomball.
Hey, what about climbing?
And I like the description of the shoes, too.
Yeah.
Spongy. Kind of like a Chuck shoe.
Yeah, Chuck Taylor's with spongy bottoms. Hey, what about climbing sports in the winter? Some folks in Wisconsin prefer to ice climb or even climb up frozen waterfalls.
They do. And we have a lot of places that you can do that. And, again, it's just how it sounds. But this has really been embraced by those in the rock climbing community. So, you know, Wisconsin has so many beautiful places and county parks, state parks. So there's a lot of locations around the state. But climbers wear harnesses, and they're protected from slipping, you know, more than a few feet by ropes anchored from above. So it's just like if you're climbing in the summer. They have an outfitter in Wisconsin Dells called Vertical Illusions. So if you're new to this and want to try it and make sure you're doing it right, that's a great place to start. But I also recommend, because I love winter hiking, and I know Patterson State Park at the, you know, the northwest part of our state, mm-hmm. Just south of Superior, they have, of course, the state's largest waterfall, Big Manitou Falls, but they have Little Manitou Falls, and that freezes over. And so if you're with a friend, and the park will let you know if it's safe, but you can just walk along the top part of the waterfalls that's frozen, and you stand in the middle of this frozen waterfalls, and you can hear the water gurgling underneath your feet. And it's just really an awesome experience. So, but ice and waterfall climbing is relatively new to the state, but it's becoming very popular.
Well, speaking of water, minnow racing is not an overly physical competition, but it shows up all over the state. What do you need to do to race a minnow, and how do you paint a number on its side?
Hey, not a whole lot. You really just need to go to a tavern. A lot of festivals and events around the state have minnow racing, but they do, again, PVC piping and, you know, the little plastic tray, and water serves as the track. And you just cheer on your minnow and hope it's the fastest one. But in some cases, they have the participants. They encourage them to help their minnows move by blowing air into the water through a straw. So you can, if your minnow is just kind of hovering, you can help it along in a very delicate way.
Just don't breathe in the wrong way.
Oh!
So, Stephanie Klett, as we wrap up, do you have to be born and raised in Wisconsin to enjoy these unconventional winter types of recreation?
You do not. In fact, Wisconsin really is an international winter destination. You know, think of the American Birkebeiner that'll be coming up in Hayward and Cable later this month. And, you know, you think of the World Championship Snowmobile Derby. So people are coming in from all over the world to experience Wisconsin, not just our quirky, but our beautiful.
Great to have you along today, Stephanie Klett. Stephanie Klett, the Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Tourism. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Dean.
All right. Hey, now it's time for Wisconsin Life. And in this glimpse of winter life, the former museum educator at the Maritime Museum in Manitowoc introduces us to another winter sport in Wisconsin, ice boating. Here's Wendy Lutzke.
DN, renegade, knight, skeeter, stern steerer, runner plank, tiller, light air, heavy air. These words were not part of my regular vocabulary. Then I went ice boating. Ice boating requires many levels of patience. Just as surfers seek out the best waves and skiers love perfect powder, ice boaters crave decent wind and smooth, black, thick ice clear of snow. That's not always easy to find, especially during snowy winters. So ice boaters always have to be ready to go at a moment's notice to a sweet ice spot, a location that might be hours away. Once you're there, you have to put your boat together. Nuts, bolts, sheets, stays, blades, and sails get twisted, unfurled, and tightened with cold fingers while you're kneeling or lying on the ice. All of this is done as efficiently as possible, so the majority of your time can be spent sailing. The wind could die or become dangerously gusty, so every moment counts. When my friend Jeff invited me to go ice boating with him recently, I didn't hesitate. We discovered that a spot was clear on Lake Winnebago and hit the road. Jeff owns the DN class of ice boat. It's a light, slender boat atop a runner plank with blades that look like they're from the ice skates of a giant. You lie on your back, feet first in the hollow cockpit, with your head slightly raised. You have one hand on a tiller to control the movement of your bow, and the other on the main sheet to capture the wind in your sail. Once you've positioned your sail to capture the wind, you have to be ready to move because you can literally move as fast as the wind across the flat sheet of lake ice. you're constantly alternating your focus between the condition of the ice ahead of you and the reaction of the sail to the wind. Hitting a hole in the ice can lead to a crash, while letting the wind carry you out of control can lift you up and over. Not fun either way. On my second ice boating escapade with Jeff, this time on Green Lake, the folks there welcomed us into their ice boating family without hesitation. That's just how ice boaters are. Talk centered on equipment, wind speed, and ice condition. Advice runs freely among ice boaters since safety is a prime concern in this extreme sport. Jeff's willingness to share his valuable boat with this novice is a true example of ice boating friendship. For me, the lure of ice boating lies in the intensity of being extremely alert and alive. I love the challenge of paying attention with my eyes and responding with my hands. The clean scrape of the blades on ice and the whistling of the wind as the boat picks up speed are invigorating. And it reminds me why I live in Wisconsin, for the adventure of four distinct seasons and new ways to get out and enjoy them, with people crazy enough to skitter across the ice on a boat.
That's Wendy Lutzke, a former museum educator at the Maritime Museum in Manitowoc. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. This has been The Morning Show, the Weekend Wisconsin Edition, produced by Keely Bultina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is the Ideas Network. Coming up Monday at this time, today's TV show may sound familiar, and that's because networks are rebooting popular programs from the 80s and 90s. We'll explore the revival at 6 o'clock on Monday morning. Again, this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.